This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Limits, did you see where Pitt and Duquesne game is all set for noon on August 30th?
Yeah, Pitt football, Duquesne. That should be a fun one. I have a friend that plays for Duquesne that'll be playing in that game. I'm excited for that.
ACC Network. There you go. All right. Let's get to our friend and yours. Mr. Bob Walk is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Bob, we're doing a show Monday at Allegiant Federal Credit Union. Is that what it's called? Limits? I don't have the name in front of me.
Yeah, Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union.
Community Federal Credit Union. Yes, like we did last year. You came over and visited. Your son was running one of the food trucks, I believe. Will you come over and visit us Monday? You in town?
Yeah, if I'm in town, I definitely will. Right now, I'm out of town. I'm up at my cabin. I'm going to, as soon as we get done here, I'm going into the woods with my turkey call and see if I can get some food for Thanksgiving. But I should be, I'm just going to stay for the weekend. So I should be back by Monday. And yeah, you're right next to my house. You're going to be at the same one you were before, right?
As far as I know, in Wexford. Yeah, yeah. Bob Pompeiani will be here if that adds any incentive for you to go over there.
I definitely will come down and see you guys on Monday, as long as I am in town on Monday, and I'm planning on being there, so.
Well, let's not bury the lead. A turkey call. Do you do that with your voice, or do you have some sort of whistle that you carry with you? Could we hear what a turkey call sounds like?
Yeah, hold on a second.
This is unbelievable, okay. Limits.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Did you hear it?
Yes, it sounds like a mouse. A mouse in the house.
There were some mice up here, too. We had to get rid of those.
I'm
not actually a very good turkey caller. My son will be working the caller. He's the turkey hunter of the family, my oldest son. And
that is incredible.
He goes, Dad, why don't we go up? It's the last 2 days of season. Maybe I can get you a turkey. I said, okay, let's go.
I love it.
So we got up here last night, and hopefully I'll be back, and we'll have something for dinner and listen to the ballgame.
That sounds great. Sounds like a great weekend. In the meantime,
great evening plan. So let's see if it works out.
Well, good luck with that. In the meantime, the Pirates are playing well, and I haven't said that, I don't think, really all year, Bob. They're 6-3 in their last 9 games. I think 9-10 overall under Don Kelly, which is worlds better than what they were doing. What's been the difference here, and how much difference does a manager make?
You know, I've always been of the camp that it's like, you know, the manager, yeah, he has an effect, but, you know, if he's a bad manager, it's way more of an effect than if he's a good manager. And it's about the players. How good are the players? You know, and that has been the way I've always been. But right here early on, this is kind of challenging that thought. If they do well in San Diego, when Donnie gets back, I'm going to his office. I'm saying, what the hell are you doing? This is pretty impressive.
The thing is, they're scoring runs now. I mean, it's not like rocket science. You can't see what they're doing. But why all of a sudden are they scoring runs? That's a question I have. Now, there's been, you know, a little differences in the lineup. Different guys are getting more playing time. I almost feel like it has to be more than that, but that's the only thing you can really put your finger on at this point is you got some different guys that are getting some more at bats, and they're coming through, and we'll see if that keeps happening. I mean, that's where we're at right now. I don't think you know, we've got such a big hole. You know, even with the real good starting pitching, I don't know if we can dig ourselves out of it, but
you know, playing better, watching the offense? Are we starting to see, you know, some of these guys do better than we thought they had in them? You know, Henry Davis now will get a lot more playing time. I think we talked about this last week. You know, where can he get more playing time? Well, now with the injury to Bart, at least for, you know, a week, 10 days, you would think that Davis will be, you know, quote unquote, the everyday catcher and get a lot of that playing time. It'll be interesting to see if the hitting continues, because his bat is come alive much more than we've ever seen it to this point. So can he keep that up? So those are the little things that, you know, I think I'm watching right now, and I'll be listening tonight to see if these, you know, the hitters are really going to keep going in the way they are right now. Canario, did we get lucky and get a legitimate, you know, hitter, you know, off, you know, basically for nothing? That would be a tremendous addition if he turns out to, you know, he can continue to hit the way he's hitting, and that would be a kind of more of a middle of the lineup type guy, because he's got a lot of power. I think that's what everyone said when he got here, is he can hit a ball a long ways, but he just doesn't hit it often enough. Well, now he's starting to make a lot more contact. His strikeouts are coming down, and, you know, maybe the Pirates have something there. So that's why I enjoy looking at the games right now, and it's what I focus on.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Yeah, Canario is an interesting case, and I think my friend Austin Bechtold here told me that he was batting in the low ones until Kelly arrived, and then Kelly started playing him every single day virtually, and he's hitting .313 under him. So my question, Bob, whether it's pitching or hitting, how much can it mean to a ball player to hear, and I don't know what their conversation was like exactly, but to hear, hey, relax, you're going to play for a while now. You go 0-for-4, you're going to be in the lineup the next day. You get shelled on the mound, you're going to take your next start. We're going to give you a long look here. What can that mean to a ball player?
I mean, it's tremendous to a young guy. I can't say what pressure you're taking off him, you know, especially if he's a guy that battles fear of failure. And because those are the type that are always looking over their shoulder, and it affects the way they play on the field. And if they know, hey, for the next 2 months, come hell or high water, I'm going to be in that lineup, then they can relax and hopefully become the player that they are. You know, there's sometimes you just can't do that. If you're in a competitive situation where you're trying to win a division title, sometimes you just can't do that. Mainly, I think I see these scenarios play out, you know, when you're got a team is just rebuilding a little bit, and you got some space to let somebody go out there and run for a while. You got to let them know, I think, my own personal view, you got to say, hey, you know, don't be looking over your shoulder. You're going to, you know, be my, you know, first baseman for, you know, to the All-Star break, and then we'll reassess, see how you're doing. You know, something like, or pitchers too. It's the exact same thing for pitchers. You know, hey, you know, we're running you out there for 10 starts, so relax, and we're not going to be judging you every time you come off the field in the fifth inning, that we're going to want to see a body of work before we make any decisions about what your future is like. If you know that as a player, that helps out a great deal with your mental approach.
Limits, it's almost too painful to even imagine what you'd feel like if you were left out of this conversation. Please join in.
It would be very sad. And Bob, you know, a lot of people were saying about Skeens just a couple of starts ago, oh, well, we're not really getting the dominant Paul Skeens. Like, he's still very good, but he's not dominant. Do you think there's been something different for him over the last couple of starts where he is really honed in on, oh, yeah, that's the Paul Skeens we all know and love?
Well, you know, he doesn't even have a full season, you know, really in the major leagues yet, I don't believe. I don't know exactly how many games he's got to. But, you know, as good as he is and as a generational talent, you know, I don't think we can, like, you know, go too far in our praise. But he's still got to be trying to feel his way along sometimes, you know. And, you know, he hears all the this talk about, well, when's he going to go deeper in games? He's, you know, he's always got 100 pitches after five innings, Well, you know, when he's throwing seven or eight pitches, striking everybody out, he throws seven or eight pitches, every hitter comes up there. Hard for him to go deep in games nowadays in the pitch count era. So I think there has been times where he's tried to be more efficient. Maybe, you know, with nobody on base early on, maybe pitch to some contact and see if he can get a six or a seven pitch inning and maybe now go seven instead of six. And, you know, he's been trying some of those things. And if all he wanted to go out there was to go out there and see how many people he could strike out, I think you would see a lot more dominating strikeout type deals. But I think he's playing more for the long game, more for the length of the season, more for his career than, you know, okay, every hitter that comes up there this inning, I'm going to try and strike out. Can he do that? Could he? Yeah, I think, and we're still going to see that on certain days where he goes out and maybe strikes out 10, 12 guys with no problem. But I don't think that's what he's thinking about much at all. He's trying to, you know, be the best pitcher he can be for himself and his teammates. And sometimes that's maybe going out and getting a couple of ground balls. You know, that's not the end of the world, and might not make him look like he's the, you know, the way we saw him a couple of times in his first season. But I truly believe any start, he could go out there in the first inning and throw 600 or 700 mile an hour fastballs if that was his game plan. But I just don't think that's his plan anymore.
Bob Walk on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. Bob, I know a lot of numbers get thrown around, especially with Skeens. You may have heard this one. It absolutely blew me away. I'm going to read it to you. It comes from a Twitter person called Nugget Chef. We'll make of that what we will, but I think he was going through another site. Listen to this. He has started 35 games, Paul Skeens, okay? 35 career starts, and here's the earned runs allowed for other great pitchers through 35 starts. Are you ready for this, Bob?
Yeah, far away. That's a full season back in the 60s when you were, you know, throwing on a four-man rotation occasionally.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Stuff like that. 35 starts. That's a good, solid full season.
Yes. So listen to this. Through 35 career starts, Greg Maddux gave up 115 earned runs. Randy Johnson gave up 102 runs through his first 35 starts. Roger Clemens gave up 100. Verlander gave up 87. Kershaw, 83. Pedro, 81. And Paul Skeens, 47. 47 earned runs through 35 career starts, Bob.
That's pretty amazing. You just got a ho-ho-ho from my son in the background. I can hear him.
We got a turkey call.
Yeah. He's a turkey calling back there. But, yeah, that's that's pretty darn incredible right there that he could put up, you know, numbers like that. And I guess that's why when he gives up a couple of runs and only strikes out six, you think, oh, what's wrong with him? Because he is so much better than anybody that's come before. But just be happy every time he goes out there knowing that if we'd come anywhere close to doing our part as far as supporting him, you got a W.
I mean, those names, it just really blew me away.
Those are the heavyweights of the last, 40 years or so?
Yeah.
It's amazing how good he has been so fast, so early. That's pretty incredible. I'm surprised that Gooden's not on that list.
Yeah, I don't know how they came about it. Me too. I mean, there were a couple others I could think of. Maybe Valenzuela.
When people ask me, have you ever seen anybody
you know, dominate like this so early in their career. And the first name that always comes to me is Gooden, but you know, maybe he just gave up more runs than I realized, but he would strike out a ton of people.
Well, Limits, there's your homework assignment before we say goodbye to Bob.
No, I don't mean to give you Limits. You don't have to do that.
I'm curious now, too. Go to baseballreference.com and go to Dwight Gooden's game log from his first, you know, I guess season, maybe season and a half, and count up his earned runs given.
Yeah, I wonder if the chef just did not add Gooden in because his first year he was absolutely incredible.
You don't have to do it live here.
I'll just tell you what the ERAs were.
Yeah.
260 and 153 in his first 2 years.
Yeah, Bob might have a good point here. Bob, a question off the beaten path. Because it's a good book, one, but I don't know why I stumbled into it again. Steve Blass's autobiography I was reading a couple days ago. So yeah. I get to the point where, and we all know, you know, the story of how Steve's career ended. Where, you know, he couldn't find the strike zone and it was, you know, just a horrible way to end what was a great career. So many years later at Pirates spring training, I believe this was, it was at a fantasy camp. He sees a guy named Richard Crowley. Steve's in his 50s by now. Richard Crowley, no relation to Adam Crowley. He's like a sports therapist type guy. And so Steve decides that he's going to go back on a mound after that and start to face live pitching in the form of these fantasy campers. And then you popped into the story here. And it's a great story because it seems to have meant so much to Steve to have been able to go back out on a mound and throw strikes and just sort of have that feeling again. That at some point you spoke with him and that he would go out early every morning and sort of, you know, just practice. What do you remember about that? And what do you remember about that whole situation where Steve sort of, maybe got rid of some demons?
Well, the only thing I really remember about it, to be honest with you, was, you know, I can remember talking about it. And I went inside, the team's out on the field and nobody around. And I went out, I went inside and I went to Roger, I guess, the clubhouse guy then. I got a catcher's glove and I told Steve, I said, come on, grab a fielder's glove, a couple of baseballs, we're going to the bullpen. And we went out there and I made him throw to me and he threw perfect. Mm. Even at that point, I mean, he was still, I don't know how old he was at then. He was probably 60 or something. So, but he was like, actually popping my glove pretty well. The sinkers were all, you know, on his arm side, just boom, 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 boom. Sliders perfect on the glove side. Just I'm not even hardly having to move the glove, and I'm going, Steve. I go, you know, what the hell? you're throwing maybe not quite as hard as you did before, but your control is perfect. I go, you know, you can go out and pitch in these things and have some fun. And I remember going and catching him, and I remember how good his control was, both with like his sinker and his slider, which were his two bread and butter pitches.
Yeah.
And I was when he had those problems, you know, I was still in high school and I was growing up in California. So I don't really remember the wildness and stuff. I've just heard the stories. So I really don't know exactly what was going on at the time, but you know, as he got older, I never saw him have any problems at all throwing the baseball and hitting the target. So he did, as he went on in life, he got rid of whatever demons were after him and keeping him out of that strike zone.
Great story. I just love that story. Love the book. Steve was a hell of an athlete. I remember in the old timers games, he'd be running around in the outfield making catches during games. And we all know what he did on the golf course, two holes in one round. Just a great athlete.
Oh, he was I remember one of those fantasy games I was pitching, and he was playing center field. And one of the younger guys, I don't know, I'm just going to say that to protect me, he hit a bullet to center field long. I mean, it's not going to be out of the ballpark, but it's very deep. And there's Blass out there with his back to the infield making an over-the-shoulder Willie Mays catch, you know, just before he got to the warning track.
Wow.
And like I said, he was probably, you know, he was –
upper 50s or low 60s at the time he made that play. So he was a very good athlete. Well, he still is. He still goes out on the golf course all the time. So it's been really a pleasure knowing when I was the oldest in my family, but being with Steve all these years, especially when he was coming on the road and it was with us all the time, it was like I had an older brother. That's the way I always felt with Steve.
Love it. And thanks for sharing that story, and have a great weekend, Bob, with your son up in the woods. I like that too. Thank you, Bob.
We'll see you later.
Thanks, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Limits, had you ever heard a turkey call before that?
No, I had not.
Would you hunt turkeys? I wouldn't, not for any moral reasons, but like the same thing I say about deer or anything else, I'd be afraid that the turkey had one last stand in him. That if I did actually connect on a shot, that I'd go up to the turkey and he would attack.
He would gobble you.
Yeah. Yeah. That. Would you hunt turkeys?
No, I'm not a hunter. I'm one of the moral people that don't like hunting animals.
What?
I'll eat, you know, meat, but I don't like hunting the animals. I don't want to go out there and kill the animal.
Yeah, I hear that.
Even if it's turkeys. There's wild turkeys that will walk around sometimes in our yard.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with hunting by and large. But it's the idea of the animal coming after me that would keep me from doing that.
Yes, kind of a real fear to have.
The people up in Brockway, my wife's family, they all laugh at me. They've had me shoot guns before where they throw the clay pigeons in the air and it has the kickback. So they laugh when I try that and then the gun knocks me down. They've wanted to take me out hunting before. I have no interest in it because of that. Plus, I don't want to wake up at 4 a.m. and go sit in a tree stand, right?
We'll use that.
That one's coming back again and again. Most water rescues in our area are serviced by local volunteer fire departments. A rescue boat can cost over $50,000. That's why we're hosting the Fan 5 Alarm Marathon presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union to raise funds for volunteers who serve our community. Donate now at 937thefan.com. Presented by Living Treasures Animal Park, Southside Plumbing and Heating, and Piata. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right. Pete Thamel yesterday, well-known college football writer, tweeted out, and I quote, "Longtime Pitt football media relations head E.J. Borghetti is moving to a different job in the university, ending a distinguished 28-year run promoting Pitt athletics. He'll be a special assistant to the senior vice chancellor for external relations at Pitt." So go look at the comments under that. "I've been doing this, working in sports in this town since 91. How long is that, a limitless wonder?
A long time.
A long time. It's 25 years plus 9. It's 34 years. I don't care. I feel young. And I am still young. I pointed out to you yesterday that I'm as young as Mike Sullivan, basically. So nobody thinks of him as an old geezer. He's in the prime of his career. And so am I. But that's not the point. The point here is that EJ, in those years that I've been doing all kinds of different things here, is as good of a person and as good at his job as any single person I've met in Pittsburgh. And I mean that. And so does everybody else. Our friend Pomp here, one of the best to ever do it. Congratulations, EJ. Sports people from around the country, the same. Shelley Poe, who used to be the SID at West Virginia when I covered the Mountaineers a long time ago. Best of the best, even for a pit guy she threw in, which was good.
I like that.
Congrats, EJ. Just all over. Brian Batko said it well, that EJ, you know, no matter who you were, you could be an intern showing up. You could be, he showed everybody equal amount of respect. Just a great person, honestly. And also, and this is important, Limits, like there's been many really good PR people, SIDs that I've worked with for all the teams in Pittsburgh. But some can be, you know, combative, can be all about access, journalism, things like that. EJ was always very fair. And when you would ask him for his opinion of a team or of a topic you were writing about, it wouldn't be just BS. You know what I mean? He wasn't just going to give you the company line behind the scenes. You know what I mean? He was going to tell you an honest opinion. He was always an advocate for the university and their programs, but not to the point where he would insult your intelligence. You know what I mean? And he would give you, you know, maybe a different way to look at things. Things like that. And also, he would agree sometimes, yes, even if it was critical. Like, yeah, you're right. And that goes a long way to, in your next interaction with that person, being like, you know, you're on even footing and you can really respect what each other says. You know what I mean?
We do this whole thing where we say, like, so-and-so is the nicest man around. EJ Borghetti is probably the nicest man in all of Pittsburgh sports that I've ever met.
Just
The way that he goes about his business with just huge professionalism, he's real. He cares. He cares not just about Pitt in every regard. He's been an incredible ambassador for the university and for Pitt Athletics.
Yes.
But he is somebody who values you, even though he understands that you have a job to do if you are a sports reporter or a sports writer or a sports broadcaster, regardless. And he always did it. Lanny taught us at Waynesburg, you always want to be first class and authentic. And I don't think that there's anybody that better embodies that than EJ.
Very well said, really. And we had a lot of laughs over the years. I remember one time after 13-9, as a matter of fact, after 13-9, you know, one of the guys to talk to was Paul Rhodes, the defensive coordinator, who had just basically, you know, choked off the greatest offense in college football that year.
Yeah.
Just completely shut them down. And I was talking to him outside the locker room, and he was sipping on a beer, as a coach might do after a game, right? So I included that little detail in my story.
Oh, I'm sure EJ loved
that. In my story for the Trib, and my phone started ringing. And I remember, now I remember what the phone was, one of those old little or big cell phones. And EJ was like, please take that out of your story. Except I didn't get the message until the next morning. So we had a lot of interesting interactions like that, but also just a lot of fun. There was a pizza place in New York we would go to all the time after Pitt did well almost every year in the Big East basketball tournament. And great sense of humor, tons of laughs, and tons of fun, really, over the years. And I just can't say enough good things about him. And it makes me sad, too, because here's another story. He started at Carnegie Mellon at CMU as their SID. Did you know that, Limits?
I did not.
Wrong. Yes, he did start at CMU as their guy. And I would cover games, Carnegie Mellon football games.
In the PAC? Oh, I don't know if that would have been PAC then. I don't think so.
No, their stadium that they have now up in that press box. And there was EJ. And, of course, he was setting up stories back then, and one of them was to interview Ile Nastasi, the tennis player. So in this very swank room at CMU, there I was interviewing the bad boy of tennis, Ile Nastasi. And EJ actually sent me a picture of him yesterday or this morning upon this announcement. So good luck in the next job, EJ. And again, I think everybody would agree, as good of a person and as good at his job as anybody in Pittsburgh sports over those 28 years. That's what I would honestly say about him.
I thought seeing Reese Davis, seeing all the SIDs that sent messages and quote tweets and everything yesterday, just a fully embodiment and a full embodiment of just the guy he is. And I think it's funny because there'll be times when EJ is listening to the show and he'll text in when he thinks there's like a funny moment.
Yes.
And he'll mention
him and Pat Bostick were laughing a few weeks ago when it was The day that you said Pomp's opinion was ridiculous, yes, and we had a group therapy session, him and Bostic were listening and laughing.
He said that they were just howling in the car, laughing at us going back and forth, and they thought it was incredible radio. So,
and the other thing with EJ was, if I had a question on pit history, any sport, anything, boom, ask him, I got the answer. Need somebody to talk to. Can you, Sam Clancy, I'd love to talk. I have Sam Clancy's number. HB Blades, I have his number. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just amazing. Amazingly good at his job.
Always willing to help. You know, we need more people in this world like EJ. And, you know, I don't think that's us being hyperbolic at all. He's just that good of a man and that good at what he does.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. And he'll still be around, with which sounds like a pretty interesting job, assistant to the Senior Vice Chancellor for External Relations. He'll be promoting Pitt, and that's what he loves. His dad was a great football player at Pitt. Pitt runs, you know, the Pitt colors run through his veins. Social media's biggest loser, brought to you by Awaken 180. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. Who's the big loser today? Limits.
Ooh, that's a great question. I'm going to say Indiana for getting absolutely crushed for their non-conference schedule with Old Dominion, Kansas State.
Yes, I agree with that.
Illinois and Indiana State. Not like Penn State's is much better, but Indiana's.
Good choice.
Come on.
What's cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
And Fan weather, rain expected any moment now with a high of Jaromir Jagr, 68. You might need your umbrella. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Limits, I got a tweet from a guy named Joey Priano who said, don't you take phone calls anymore? I waited 2 hours and 45 minutes. What is happening back there? You had someone on call for on hold for 2 hours and 45 minutes. Why didn't you tell me Joey was on the line?
I apologize to Joey. Sometimes we just get rolling and we get into a huge segment and we end up missing one. So I apologize to Joey.
You apologized to him or apologize now?
I'm apologizing right now.
So am I, Joey. It may have been just as much my fault.
Joey, you will be the first call that we take on Monday.
Yeah, it was more Limit's fault. Yeah, we'll definitely take you on Monday, and I'm sorry for that, because we value our callers and our listeners and our viewers, don't we?
Oh, our callers have given us some of the best moments in all of show history.
And our texters were fabulous today.
Yeah, that's the thing. We got so deep into the text line, and people, I mean, we've probably gotten, I don't even know how many texts, probably the most texts that we've gotten in a long time today. So
good luck in your wiffle ball this weekend. I'll see you and Bob Monday on location in Wexford.
All righty, Joe. Sounds good. Have a great weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.